to you is entitled Powerful Influence of Mothers. This morning I want to direct my attention to you who are mothers. But in doing that, I don't want the rest of you to tune up. Instead, I want you to think about the mother you had. What role did she have in your life? What positive roles did she play in your development? What role did she play that has had a negative effect on your life? Whatever it may have been, what lessons have you learned from those experiences? Very important. For you see, there's no more influential or powerful role on earth than that of a mother. As significant as political, military, educational, or religious public figures may be, none can compare to the impact made by mothers. See, their words are never forgotten. Their touches leave an indelible impression, and the memory of their presence lasts a lifetime. I ask you, who else is anywhere near that influential? You were blessed with a good mother, you will reap the benefits the rest of your days. If your mother neglected your needs, unfortunately, much of what you suffered can't be erased. For good or ill, a mother's mark is permanent. Mothers, this is your hour. It is your distinct opportunity to soar. Talk about a challenge worth your effort. In spite of what you may have heard, this role is the most dignified, the most influential, and the most rewarding in all of the world. I have two scriptures which will provide much food for thought on this very matter. The first passage is found in Proverbs chapter 24, and the second in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's direct our attention first to Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. Here's what it says. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with beautiful treasures. I like those verses. These two verses have to do with building, but not the kind of building we normally think of with hammer and nails or trowel and brick and mortar. It's nothing to do with matching carpets and drapes, nor new paint or new room additions. It's not that kind of building. These verses are about establishing and firming up the home. The tools Solomon mentioned, you see, are relational, which are far, far more valuable. I am impressed with their beauty. You see, Solomon is suggesting that homes are built with three primary tools. You know what they are? Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to see with discernment, to view life as God perceives it. Understanding is the skill to respond with insight. Knowledge, well, it is that rare trait of learning with perception, discovering, and growing as a result. Mothers, God can give you all three. In fact, did you know that you have a 9-month jump on the children's father? Do you realize that? There's something about that 40-week advance that you have on dads that I can give you a perspective, an insight, that quite frankly, we men don't have. You felt the child. You knew the child before the fathers ever had a chance to feel and to know them. The jolt of responsibility hits us men. You see, when we see that tiny little baby for the first time. But you moms felt it months before. I heard of four scholars who one day were arguing over biblical translations. One scholar liked the King James Version. He liked it because of its beautiful, eloquent Old English. Another preferred the American Standard Bible for its literalism, the way it moved the readers from passage to passage with confident feelings of accuracy from the original text. A third scholar preferred Moffat's translation because of its quaint, penetrating use of words. After giving the issue further thought, the fourth scholar admitted that he personally preferred his mother's translation. When the older scholars chuckled, he responded, "Yes, she translated it. She translated each page of the Bible into life. It is the most convincing translation," he said, "I ever saw." Well, there was another man who experienced a similar translation in his life. This man lived in the first century. His name? Timothy. We don't hear much about Timothy's mother. We hear a lot about Timothy and a lot about Paul, his older friend and mentor. These two men were so close that the elder sought the younger in his last few weeks. As a result of his Christian witness in a hostile world, Paul had been thrust into a Roman dungeon, soon to face death. Shortly before he was beheaded, he wrote Timothy a letter. And as he penned that letter, he began to drift back into the pools of his memory. You see, 2 Timothy is actually dripping with nostalgia. You can't read it properly without trying to imagine what it must have been like to be in such a dungeon, facing your last days here on earth. Paul at this point is old. His life is spent. In fact, he commented that he has finished his course. At times like that, when you're nearing the end of life and death is inevitable, you know what you tend to do? You tend to draw on your memory. While thinking of their friendship, he goes back to more pleasant days with Timothy. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. He makes this statement, "I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers." If mental faculties are still intact when a person is approaching death, that's what a Christian often does when he is alone and life is coming to an end. He'll come to the place at some point of thanking God. He will review his memories. He'll pray a lot. Now let's read verse 4. "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy." You see, I find in that statement and in those that follow five distinct contributions I believe a mother has the opportunity to make in her home with the help of the Lord. The very first thing Paul remembered about his friend Timothy is rather interesting. You know what he remembered first? He remembered Timothy's tears. I believe Timothy had a mother to thank for that. Friends, let's face it, most of us as children, both boys and girls alike, learn tenderness from our mothers. Moms, don't ever lose your tenderness. Don't lose it. If you buy into the feminist message of today, you may be apt to become militant, rough, harsh, maybe even a little mean. Those little hands your child keeps lifting up are looking for a mother's tenderness that they'll fill with find in the fast lane. Thus they will keep coming back to you for more even as they grow older. Timothy found tenderness in his home. And that's the first thing Paul remembers about Timothy himself. You see, he was a man that was not afraid to shed tears. That's not all. Paul adds something else in verse 5. He said, I have been reminded of your sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. You see, Paul knew Timothy's heritage. He knew the man's roots. He knew about Grandma Lois and about Timothy's mother Eunice. And he realized that the things which characterized grandmother and mother actually now characterize Timothy. That's the way sincere faith often develops, isn't it? Note the word sincere in that verse. If I were to transliterate the Greek term here, it would read unhypocritical faith. Paul is saying this. As I think of you, Timothy, I think of a man who is unhypocritical in his Christian life. You got it from your mom. There's no mention of a significant grandfather in his past, or even his father, just his maternal grandmother and mother. Often that is the avenue through which sincere faith develops. Though not exclusively, it also can come from the father or the grandfather. But listen, a church, a Christian school, a circle of Christian friends can deposit facts into your heads, but they can't translate truth into authentic living. You see, those other avenues can't make it real. Truth doesn't weave itself into real fleshed-out life until it flows through you, Mom and Dad. Children gather the facts. They learn it from books. They see it in the printed page. Then they look to you, Mom and Dad, to see it modeled into an unhypocritical kind of faith. Believe me, we can give them the right words to say. We can convey Christian concepts until we're blue in the face. But such teaching won't fit reality until our children see the reality of such truths found within the home. Mothers, one of your major contributions to family is realism. Let the truth be known. Talk the truth. Model the truth. Reward honest seeking. Have a little fun with it. Make sure that your children understand that asking questions is all right, because when they get off to university and college, they will then know what to expect. Their faith won't be apt to backfire and leave them with a massive head wound. Yes, transparent tenderness, authentic spirituality are very, very important. Model them before your family. Third distinct contribution a mother has the opportunity of making in the home is found in verses 6 and 7a. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. The Greek term dunamis, power, has in mind inherent strength, inner might that only God can give you. Don't think of timidity as a helpful trait in this context. It is not. It's impurity. It's inferiority. Once you become real moms and once the reality of your life begins to flow through to your child, it is amazing how he, she will begin to sense security, confidence, and will eventually emulate the same in their own life down the road somewhere. Apparently, when Timothy reached the age of 35, 35 or 40 and began his ministry in Ephesus. He did it, friends, with confidence. Let me suggest he probably learned that from his monk as well. Who can ever measure the benefits of a mother's inspiration? We have thought about a mother's transparent tenderness, her authentic spirituality, her inner confidence. As you would expect, the next contribution that needs to be found in mother is love. Good, old-fashioned, unselfish love. It's found in verse 7. Where it says, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. I want you to note the word love. The kind of love mentioned here has to do with seeking the highest good of the other individual. It is a selfless love. It's love that is demonstrated when it hurts. Love when you are weary. Love when it means discipline. Love when it means staying at the task. Washing, fixing meals, driving those kilometers to some sporting event for your child, scampering up the stairways to the bedroom at night to give counsel to your child, planning for the future, dreaming big dreams. Let me tell you, when your love really comes through, though, it comes through when you listen, when your child hurts deeply, and also when you hear, listen, when you hear what the child doesn't say. Your love comes through when you can laugh under pressure, even though it doesn't seem to fit. Those are two ways you tell your child that you really love them. It is your sense of humor and your sense of insight. There's a story told of a young girl who is required to receive oxygen. She was dying. Nurses and attendants had waited on her time and time again, day after day. She was not a demanding kind of patient. She suffered quietly through the day. Finally, during one of the hurried moments in the life of any nurse, that's when it's time to put patients to bed and when it's time to turn off the lights and to get back and do your final checks that you have to do before leaving. A weary yet understanding nurse, who is also a mother, reached over and turned out the light for this little girl. For a change, that girl said something. Said something rather strange. She asked softly, what would happen if the hospital suddenly caught on fire? The preoccupied nurse momentarily didn't realize what she was really asking. She said, you'll be all right, honey. We'll take good care of you. And then before she reached for the door to leave, the nurse suddenly understood what the girl was really saying. Lovingly, the nurse went back, wrapped her arms around the frail, frightened little girl. Okay, close. Whispered in her ear. Does that help? There isn't a mother here who doesn't understand such a response. It's in those times you declare your love most eloquently. When you detect a need, you spontaneously reach out and embrace and say to that individual, does this help? Those are very, very special moments. You see, that is wisdom at work. There are times when a child doesn't know what he needs. That's when your love provides the essential insight. God calls such a response understanding. God has often given moms a sixth sense. He seems to know when someone is afraid, yet doesn't know how to say it. When acting upon it, your unselfish love prompts you to do the right thing. And when you do that, friends, you revealed God-given knowledge. You also really need to model tenderness, as I've mentioned. Our world is unlikely to find it anywhere else. It's also a time for you to demonstrate sincere and unhypocritical faith, as I mentioned before. It's from you a child can learn confidence when all those things I mentioned, when woven together, become a beautiful tapestry of love. Let me add one more quality moms need to demonstrate before their children. Self-control. That is also found in verse 7. Let me read to you that verse once again. For God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and self-control. Moms who get the job done are moms who set wise parameters. And they say to their child, that's it, no further. Here the vital element of self-control is present. It forms the needed balance to the love and the tenderness that you must demonstrate as a parent. You see, friends, it is so hard to be consistent. Yet love needs the balance that discipline provides. Remember, if a child lives with criticism all the time, you know what's going to happen? He'll learn to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he'll learn to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he's apt to become shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. What does motherhood require? Transparent tenderness, authentic spirituality, inner confidence, unselfish love, and self-control. Quite a list, isn't it? It's things that you're going to have to seek God's help if you're going to properly fulfill them. Many of us who are sons and fathers, I think at times have been guilty of an attitude of presumption. It's too easy to take our moms for granted. We have given you far too little credit, moms, for the load you carry, the endless responsibilities you live with. Let us stop as I bring this message to a close and consider the priceless value of a mother. Here's a list that I have come up with that I think would apply to many moms today, but I know for sure would apply to my mom. Think of your own mom and see which on this list apply to her, and there may be others that you will come across as you think about it. When you go home from this service, tell her what you appreciate about her. That is, if she's still alive. And if she's passed on, thank God for giving me such a mother. Here's my list. If my mom were here today and she were in this service, she's long gone to heaven. Here's what would be on my list. Dear Mom, as I walk through my museum of memories, I thank God for the times you spent with me, many a day and night. I thank you for your example, which was so consistent and so dependable. I thank you for your support that was stimulating and very challenging at times. I thank you for your counsel that was wise and quiet on many occasions. I thank you for your hospitality, your smiles, your beautiful smile, and the warmth of your personality. I thank God for your insight that is keen and honest. I thank God for your sacrifices you made for me. They were numerous, but I so quickly forgot. I thank God for your faith, solid and sure. I thank God for your love that was devoted and deep. What would be on my list? I wonder what would be on yours. Friends, there's no more influential or powerful role on earth in the life of a child than a godly mother. For you mothers who are here today, let me encourage you. Stay at it, dear ladies. Stay at it. If you failed in the past, ask God to forgive you. He will. And then press on to fulfill the high calling He has committed into your keeping. And never, never, never doubt your value. Without you, the family simply would have difficulty surviving. God bless you as you honor Him in your blessed calling. You are a blessed woman.